Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who meets with us each time we open his word, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Luke chapter 23. We read verses 6 through 12. When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he heard that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the experts in the law stood there, vehemently accusing him. Herod, along with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that day. Before this, they had been enemies of each other. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you had the choice to do anything you wanted to do today, what would you do? What would you fill this day of freedom with? Would you go skiing? Take a bike ride? Drive along the coast? Go to a concert? A sporting event? Maybe you'd rather just sit at home. Maybe you'd spend the whole day reading or just binge watching the latest TV show you're into. It's safe to say that what you came up with likely was either something that was entertaining to you, enjoyable to you, or something relaxing. When you think about that, what would I do with a day's worth of time? When we think about what and how we spend our time, it is telling how important entertainment is to us in general. What does what we do with our time say about us? Now, this isn't a new thing. We're not the first society to have this thought or to deal with the issues of what do we do with our free time? What do we do with our pleasure? How important is entertainment and pleasure in our lives? People with money, people with freedom have struggled with this, filling the hours of their day for centuries. During the season of Lent, we are focused on some of the ironies of the Passion, ironies that took place or that were said during the Passion history of Jesus. Today we come across a man, Herod Antipas, a man who could do almost anything he wanted, and yet he had an unfulfilled desire for entertainment. He had been wanting to see Jesus. That's a good thing, of course, right? Wanting to see Jesus is a good thing. There's really no irony there. But in Herod's case, the irony is that he wanted to see Jesus for the wrong reason. Maybe we should first identify which Herod we're talking about. There are a number of Herods that come up in the Gospels. Herod the Great, King Herod the Great, was the one who was ruling when Jesus was born. He was the one who carried out that order to have all the babies in Bethlehem killed to try and kill the Christ child. That Herod, Herod the Great, died soon after that. The Herod that is spoken of in our text is his son, Herod Antipas. And Antipas ruled only over the region of Galilee, which is the northern territory of Israel, and a region across the Jordan River known as Perea. Herod Antipas' brother Archelaus had reigned in Jerusalem for 10 years, but the Romans tossed him out and put in instead in his place a governor. And at this time, of course, that governor of that region was the governor Pontius Pilate. Now, what you also need to know is that it was actually Herod Antipas who had engineered the downfall of his brother Archelaus. Herod, as is his namesake, was, we would say, not a nice man. He had married one wife and then replaced that wife with his niece. And she was already married to one of his younger brothers. And then when John the Baptist accused Herod of adultery, Herod threw him in prison and later, even though reluctantly, ended up beheading John the Baptist. Was I telling you the truth? Herod was not a nice man. This was a man who needed Jesus. And lo and behold, who is coming to see him that day? Jesus. Luke tells us in our text, when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. And there, dear friends, is the irony, the tragic irony, of today's account. This wicked, bloodthirsty, power-hungry, sinful man has the Savior of the world standing right in front of him. He has God himself in human flesh, about to die on the cross for Herod's many shameful sins, as well as for the sins of the entire world, and all Herod wanted from him were magic tricks. How sad. Jesus, of course, did not come to be Herod's court magician. He was not sent to this earth to be our entertainer. He came to be our Savior. Jesus obviously had no intention of showing Herod any miracles that day. And so our text tells us that Herod questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. And so Herod did what most spoiled children do when they get bored. Our text continues that Herod, along with his soldiers, treated Jesus with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod sent Jesus back, never fully understanding or realizing who it was he had the privilege of speaking with. Do you see the lesson for us in the tragic irony of Herod's attitudes and actions toward Jesus? God had come and stood right in front of him. Well, God has come to us. We're right here in his house, right? Do we see him today? Do we see him in his word? Do we see him when we celebrate the Lord's Supper? The body and blood of Jesus Christ there in and with that bread and wine. Are we satisfied with the greatest miracle in all history, God becoming one of us to save us from our sins and give us eternal life? Or do we want something else? Are we looking for something else when we come to church? Maybe we do think church should be more entertaining. I've had that thought before in my life. Are we like spoiled children who want to be wowed and awed 24 hours a day, even in this 1 hour where we are worshiping God in his house? Do we demand to be spoon-fed our faith so it's so dumbed down and so palatable that it fits our modern sensibilities, our modern viewpoints, our modern tastes? The truth is, Jesus tells us and makes no allusions to us that being a disciple of his is actually quite a bit of work. It takes discipline. The word disciple is in that word discipline, isn't it? It takes discipline to actually listen, to pay attention in church. It takes commitment to study and grow in God's word and to understand the difference between soul-saving gospel messages of Jesus from Jesus' word, and then, on the other hand, what society today passes off for spirituality. We live in a culture that has too much wealth, too much free time, and so many entertainment opportunities that compete with listening to the simple truths of God's word. It's a great danger for us, a very strong temptation for us to not hear that simple, still small voice of God's word. And so let's ask ourselves honestly, are we turning into Herod's? I hate to say that the answer at times has been yes. Have we at times in our lives put entertainment, free time, and pleasure above God and His Word? When we do come to the house of worship, we must admit that at times our minds have wandered. We haven't been 100% locked in on everything that is said or sung in a worship service. Our minds have wandered when we should have been paying attention to God's Word. Have we wished at times that God's house would be more entertaining? Or maybe we wish that we'd see Him do a few more miracles. You know, the ones that we really want to see, the ones we can touch, the ones we can hear and feel, those physical miracles, not just those, you know, those miracles of forgiveness and faith, raising us from dead, spiritual deadness to life, the miracles of Jesus' body and blood being present in the Lord's Supper. We want to see some real miracles. I'm, of course, being a bit sarcastic there. Those are incredible miracles that we get to receive every Sunday. Are we satisfied with those miracles, or do we want more? Even though there have been many times that we have been satisfied coming to God's church, hearing the Word of God, having our souls filled and satisfied with God's Word, we have to admit we haven't been perfect. And that is God's standard, right? Perfection. If God were to play a recording of our hearts and our attitudes on Judgment Day, the only verdict He could render to us is guilty. But He won't. He won't. Because Jesus has taken away our sins. Jesus, that beaten, bloody man standing next to Herod, let all of this happen to Him so that He could carry our sins to that cross. There, Jesus paid for Herod. There, He paid for us. There at that cross, God has forgiven us even for our sins against His Word, even for our discontented hearts and minds. Jesus stood there in our place and was mocked and refused to defend Himself so that we won't have to defend ourselves on Judgment Day. Jesus in the Bible is called our advocate, our defender. He took that punishment on Himself. Jesus went to that cross for Herod, for Pilate, even for those chief priests and elders and teachers of the law who were accusing Him. And when that day was done, every single sin of every single sinner was paid for by Jesus' blood. Our sins were paid for. The Holy Spirit then uses that good news, that gospel, to work faith in our hearts, to believe it, to make that forgiveness and that freedom in Christ ours, yours, and mine. And this is the plague and more wealth than any other nation in history. But on top of that, we as Christians have an even greater freedom. We are free from sin, its power, its guilt. We're free from the threat of death and hell. And as Christians, we have even greater riches and wealth. We have eternal life in heaven waiting for us. What will you and I do with that freedom? What will we do with that wealth? On our own, we would only waste it. Wishing for entertainment, searching vainly for something new, constantly looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things. But again, the good news is we are not on our own. God has called us by the gospel. He's given us faith in His Son Jesus. And through that gospel, He teaches us to treasure those rich gifts. By God's power working through that gospel, we want to see Jesus, and for the right reasons. So keep coming and see your Savior here. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.